Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. In this next hour, plenty to get into around the National Football League with some quarterback news. One official from the NFL franchise itself. The other, some rumors and speculations starting to spread about a potential blockbuster deal at the quarterback spot. We'll discuss if it's even realistic or makes sense for either side involved between the Steelers and the Jaguars. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Scott, an hour here on FFC with a lot to dive into. Quarterback news officially out of the New York Jets. The rumored trade, or at least the Steelers inquiring about the availability of Trevor Lawrence, who we spent much of yesterday's show discussing at length. The NFL Combine list, the players invited to Indianapolis in just a few weeks, officially released. And a former NFL coach making his way to college football. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. All of that, though, you can expect over this next hour.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Ben, the NFL, we all know, is king, right? They just overwhelm everyone. But there's two things that they kind of lack that other sports maybe have an advantage over them. One is the All-Star game, right? I think as a consensus, the NFL Pro Bowl is probably the worst out of all four major sports, right? The other one really is trades. You know, the NBA, we just got through the NBA trade deadline and all the great moves and Luka and this and that stealing the headlines. NHL's coming up next month. Baseball, we know at the end of July is always feverish pitch. People talking about who's going where, this, that, what have you. Football doesn't, yeah. It really doesn't have that. It really doesn't. You know, it's rare when you see an NFL trade. So this is the one thing that they're kind of lacking versus, you know, there's not many, like I said, over the other sports. And maybe the NFL this offseason will pick things up a little bit. We'll get a bunch of deals, or at least rumored deals that may or may not go down.
The offseason calendar always has something at the end of this month. It's the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. The official list of the 329 prospects invited to work out in Indy, meet with NFL organizations, forecast their future. That has been released. In March, it's free agency, it's franchise tags, it's maybe some of those blockbuster deals. In April, it's the NFL draft, and then so on and so forth. Scott, although we got word over the weekend of these reports that Aaron Rodgers had flown back to New Jersey to meet with the Jets late last week and had been informed by the team that they were moving in a different direction at the quarterback spot, the Jets make that official from their own in-house brass today, releasing a statement just about an hour ago, a joint statement from head coach Aaron Glenn and new GM Darren Moody, alongside a statement from team owner in Woody Johnson. This is the statement from Glenn and Moody, that new brass for the New York Jets. Quote, last week, we met with Aaron and shared that our intention was to move in a different direction at quarterback. It was important to have this discussion now to provide clarity and enable each of us the proper time to plan our respective futures. We want to thank him for the leadership, passion, and dedication he brought to the organization and wish him success moving forward. The end of that quote from the statement released by new head coach in New York, Aaron Glenn, and new Jets GM, Darren Moogie. Again, Scott, we had this report. It is not shocking. It's not breaking news that they released this statement, but it has now been made official from the Jets themselves. They are going a different direction at the quarterback spot, and Aaron Rodgers no longer a part of their future.
Yeah, you know, it was a great plan, Ben, you know, on paper. You know, it was a real, let's bring in Aaron Rodgers. He's got a couple of years left. We got some talent on the team. We'll bring in his boys over. We'll do everything we can to make life here in New York / New Jersey, you know, a happy place for him. He can do whatever he wants. He bought in, they bought in, the fans bought in, and then 2 years later, we look back and it was as bad as you could ever envision it, right? I mean, the first series going down last year was just comical. It really was. And then this year, they really didn't even give it that long before they fired their head coach, five games in. I mean, it's just like they made up their mind maybe after last season. It's a weird thing, right? You would think they would have been bought in and just said, all right, you know, we're going to give it a full year, but they didn't even do that. Then they fire the GM a couple of weeks later, and the whole thing implodes without ever really realistically having a shot. So, yeah, we had heard about him, you know, being let go. And now whether he finds a home or not, I don't know. There's all kind of goofy stories. I heard one yesterday about how he would go to Tennessee because one of the executives there in Tennessee was with him in Green Bay. It's like, Tennessee? I mean, why in the world would he go to Tennessee? But you know, we'll see if he wants. I think he wants to play, Ben. It's a matter of, is there a team that wants him? You know, these guys all have egos, right? He doesn't want to tell the world, yeah, I want to play, and yet no team comes a calling. So he's got to play that game of, well, I got to decide as well. Meanwhile, I think his agent is putting out feelers and seeing if there's any interest out there for him. There's not that many openings. Yeah. There really isn't. Unless someone makes a move to create an opening, if you just look at the teams now, Ben, that there's no realistic match to me, you know, for like a semi-win now team versus, you know, having all these openings like we had last year.
Yeah, and Scott, it's a great point, right? And if there is an opening or a question for a team to answer at their quarterback spot, is Aaron Rodgers worth it? Would he be tabbed the immediate starter? Would Aaron Rodgers be interested, even if at all, if he has to be in a quarterback competition throughout offseason OTAs and training camp? I don't know necessarily. He is 41 years old. He has spent two decades, 20 years in the National Football League. Scott, just for the logistics of this all, the Jets have made their official declaration that Aaron Rodgers is not coming back. And Ian Rappaport clarifying that per NFL rules, if a club announces that they are terminating a vested veteran, other clubs are able to talk to him. No tryout, however, or signing is permitted. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be released by the New York Jets until the league year begins on June 1st, we would think, unless they want to take in a ton of dead cap space, which I don't think would be anybody's benefit. But he can now, Aaron Rodgers, if he's continuing his football career, I'm sure still mulling over retirement, he can speak to other clubs. They can put out those feelers and see where some realistic opportunities are going to lie. Scott, I think that is the question, right? 41 years old. Is he a clear-cut starter in the NFL anymore? Perhaps. Is there that opportunity for him that would make him the starter day number one when he walks into the facility, as he has been for the last 15 years of his NFL career? I'm not so sure. And I wonder, Aaron Rodgers, who of course has a rather large ego, how that will all go into factoring his decision come back to the NFL or retire. Scott, there's an idea when you are one of the greatest to do it at your position, at this level. You want to kind of go out on your own terms. The Jets making this decision for Aaron Rodgers, not exactly his terms. Does he still want to give it a go one more year in the NFL? There were some reports that because he took the trip to New Jersey to even meet with the Jets in the first place, it shows he has interest in playing in the NFL next season.
Yeah, I mean, I would think he would. I mean, who wants to go out like last year, right? But I will say this. You know, if you look at his stats, you know, forget about his play, right? If you just look at his numbers, you know who he reminds me of? Russell Wilson 2 years ago. I mean, he had very similar numbers with the Denver Broncos, but if you watch the Broncos with Russell Wilson, they're like, wow, not happening, right? And if you watch the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, so many games, five, six games where he had the ball needing only a field goal to tie the game, and he couldn't get it done. And that's when, you know, crunch time is when it really counts, right? So, but the numbers weren't bad. With 28 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions, threw for nearly 4,000 yards. I mean, those are not horrible numbers. So, I mean, he shows some ability, but it would take, like I said, a team to maneuver around who they have now, I think, in order to bring him in.
One final reflection on the Rodgers era in New York, all that was invested into Aaron Rodgers, and the lack of success that follows, and also what the Jets' plan is now at the quarterback position. Up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. The Jets make it official. They are moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Earlier today, an official statement from team president and owner Woody Johnson, new head coach Aaron Glenn, and his new GM Darren Moogie, that they are making the move from Aaron Rodgers, which, Scott, as we discussed, what is Rodgers' future in the National Football League? But let's look back one final time on what you can really only categorize as a disastrous two-year run in New York. After the first 18 seasons of his NFL career, 15 consecutive as a starting quarterback in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, way back now in March of 2023, emerged out of the darkness and made his intent clear. He wanted to continue playing football and doing so for the Jets. Scott, what might kind of be lost in that conversation? Oh, so he was a free agent and the Packers cut him and he walked to New York? No, there had to be a trade. And then it took a long time for that actual trade to get done, because who held the leverage between Green Bay and New York? So on and so forth. Ultimately, multiple second-round picks go back to Green Bay. The Jets restructured Aaron Rodgers' contract to the tune of around $75 million. Rodgers brought in basically everybody he was comfortable with: Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator. Then midway through this year, trying to put a Band-Aid over a gaping wound, they trade for Devontae Adams, spend another third-round pick and additional money to get Devontae, only, Scott, for it to result in 2024 with just 5 wins, not to mention the 4 offensive snaps that Aaron Rodgers played in 2023's NFL season before rupturing his left Achilles. So in a 2-year span, with all that was invested by the New York Jets into Aaron Rodgers, all they have to show is 5 wins because of Aaron Rodgers in a 14th consecutive season missing out on the NFL playoffs.
It really is amazing. I mean, when you look back on the whole thing, all right, you make the run for it, and I get it. I didn't think it would be successful, but at least I understood why they were doing it and everything like that, right? Yeah. And then they give it really five, six games, less than 2 months before they fired the head coach, and the whole thing. From that point on, it never got any better. Like, sometimes you fire a head coach, and it's for the betterment, and you see the team turn things around. It never got any better. It just went downhill from there. So it really was just a disastrous try. It's 2 years, and you're no better now than you were 2 years ago. And you can make the case you're worse. And the sad thing, Ben, is that's not a bad roster. It really isn't. This is not the Tennessee Titans. This is not the Las Vegas Raiders, where there's gaping holes all over the place. They got a number of number one draft choices on the offensive line. They got a big time running back. They got, you know, realistically two. They keep Adams, two big time wide receivers. That's a load of decent defense. That's a pretty good roster. And it's one of the reasons why they brought Rodgers in, thinking he was going to be the final piece of the puzzle, and it just never happened. And now they're like a lot of teams: decent roster, but no quarterback. You could say that about 4 or 5 teams around the NFL. I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to go back to Sam Darnold? I really doubt that. I really do. Would they actually call up the Atlanta Falcons? Kirk Cousins apparently available. Go that route.
Right.
Another quarterback that's like, win now? And that might be where they go, believe it or not.
Yeah, there's a lot that they could do, right, at that quarterback position. The decision, Scott, now as we focus on the Jets' future, of what they are going to do at the QB spot. They don't have anybody in-house. It's not Tyrod Taylor. More than likely not Jordan Travis, who, of course, was at Florida State and then suffered that gruesome knee injury, but had been on the roster this year. When you look at the GM now in place, Darren Moogie, what does he want to do in the draft? The Jets are not selecting by any means in a prime position, I believe sixth overall to be in consideration, or seventh overall in consideration for a quarterback. Scott, it's an interesting spot for the Jets, who have not figured out that quarterback puzzle, I mean, really in a long time, but certainly here as of late with all the talent they have had. 2018, third overall pick, Sam Darnold. He's had success in other areas. Would Sam Darnold ever dream of coming back to MetLife to play for the Jets with a new regime? More than likely, that's a partnership that should not happen. But of course, in 2021, second overall pick on Zach Wilson, that did not work either. Aaron Rodgers was seemingly the guy with all of his track record success and pedigree that could elevate a very young and talented roster. Obviously, did not work out. So that is a big question, Scott, for the Jets to answer at the quarterback spot. You would expect some sort of veteran move, free agent, if any, are available. A trade somehow, some way. There doesn't seem to be many quarterbacks in this draft in where the Jets are picking that would be in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, it really doesn't. You know, and it's funny because they do have, I think, a win now roster. So do you go get yourself a veteran quarterback? You go make a run for Russell Wilson if Pittsburgh's going to go away from him, you know, or call up the Atlanta Falcons and ask about Kirk Cousins, who clearly is available right now. Or are there guys on rosters that you think, you know what, I kind of liked him coming out of college. I know it hasn't happened yet, but whether it's a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields, who's a free agent, you know, with Pittsburgh, you know, do you give a guy like that a flyer? I really did like Jordan Travis, but that's in college. You know, you blow out your knee, but I really did like him in college. Now, whether he really has the arm strength in the NFL, I don't know about all that stuff, but I thought he was actually halfway decent. So, but I doubt they would go that route. But yeah, they're at that fork of the road. You know, if you kick out the veteran, do you bring in another veteran, a la Kirk Cousins, or do you just go the youngster route? Or can you make a trade? You know, if Tennessee's willing to bargain, like I heard yesterday, you know, I don't know how realistic that is. Would Cleveland be willing to trade out of the number two pick if they feel like they, you know, can get a whole boatload and really just regroup and trade Myles Garrett as well and really kind of, you know, correct that situation in Cleveland? So we'll see. This is why you're the GM, right? You got chicken, you know what? You made chicken salad out of it.
Absolutely so. But we'll see what those top two teams that seem to be quarterback needy, that would be the Titans and the Browns, want to do with their quarterback spots and what they want to do with their top two picks in the NFL draft. We have heard from Tennessee, based on reports, that new general manager, Mike Borgonzi, will listen to any potential trade offers for that first overall selection. Would the Jets be in the running? Do they have the capital necessary to make those deals? That we shall see. Scott, you mentioned Russell Wilson. You mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very interesting report earlier this morning about the quarterback spot. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So, Scott, earlier this morning, a very interesting report between two organizations in the quarterback spot, and a guy that we discussed at length yesterday that is about to welcome in a new head coach, seen as an offensive mind in Jacksonville, that would be Liam Cohen, trying to unlock Trevor Lawrence entering year number 5 of his NFL career. Of course, the former number 1 overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Now, if I say the name Ryan Burr, that might not mean a lot to a lot of you. It's not Ian Rappaport. It's not Adam Schefter. It's not Jordan Schultz. It's not those usual NFL insiders. But Ryan Burr, longtime host for the Golf Channel, working for the Big Ten Network and ESPN and other variety of sports media outlets, had this report, Scott, earlier this morning around 8 a.m. Eastern. Steelers have made inquiries to the Jaguars about a trade for quarterback Trevor Lawrence. This directly from the horse's mouth in the Jags organization. Wow, is how Ryan Burr ended that tweet. Now, Ryan Burr, again, not your regular NFL insider, but a report that caught some flames on social media. Many people ran with it. Many people asked the question, would this actually be realistic? Could this possibly happen? In what world would the Jacksonville Jaguars want to trade Trevor Lawrence, a guy they just paid this past offseason, a five-year, $275 million deal, at the time the richest in NFL history, to make him the face of the franchise for hopefully ever, but at least the foreseeable future? Scott, we have had some reports from that point, from ESPN Jacksonville reporter who covers the team, saying this is not going to happen. There's no chance the Jags are making this deal with the Steelers. But the fact it was even reported, even though it's not a usual NFL insider and reporter, is there smoke? Is there fire? Those are the questions that we ask here early in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, usually where there's smoke, there's some fire. I am a big believer in that. It may be a smoldering fire, right? And right. Inquiries, right? That's the key word. That's the word that you circle in the report. We talked about this with one other report. I forget what it was. Could it be Pittsburgh called up and said, you know what, they're making phone calls all around the league. They got a list of 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks that they would be interested in. So they do their due diligence and say, hey, listen, you know what? Luka just got traded by the Dallas Mavericks. Anything can happen. So go pick up the phone, boys. Call these 5, 6, 7 teams that we would be interested in. And who knows? Maybe we spark an interest. Could it be something as simple as that? Or was it an actual conversation where you discussed names and everything else? I'm guessing it's the latter. Now, why would Jacksonville leak that? I get the sense it was Jacksonville, right? I don't know. Well, you know, maybe that's their way of telling the public, hey, this guy is actually available. But it wouldn't make sense, right? I mean, one, you just gave the guy all this money. All right, but the different GM, different, you know, head coach. But then you hire a guy seemingly to work with him. And that was last week. So what changed over the course of the week, right? Wasn't that the reason why you hired Cohen? Because you wanted to bring him in and work with Trevor Lawrence? So it doesn't make sense on paper, Ben. It really doesn't. But who do I wouldn't pass anything. Like I said, the Dallas Mavericks traded Luka Doncic. Anything can happen for the right price.
Yeah, Scott, I think it's a really good point. That key word being inquiries. And as we saw from the Ryan Burr report, he was saying that he had heard from Jacksonville, specifically Jacksonville. I know the Golf Channel studios are in Orlando. Not sure how close that is to Duval County. Maybe he knows some people that work with the Jags. I'm not entirely sure how he came to this information or how that information was distributed to him. Was it Jacksonville being like, dude, listen to this? The Steelers called us about Trev, and we hung up the phone immediately. Right. Could that have been it? To Scott's point, might Pittsburgh be calling a bunch of teams and be like, hey, just wanted to say, we've got this and this. Would you ever be interested? Doesn't mean that anything was on the table. Doesn't mean there was even a trade discussion more than like, hey, hope the offseason goes well. Doesn't mean a trade package by any means was actually presented. And as we are learning, ESPN's reporter for the Jags, Michael DeRocco, saying there's no chance this is going to happen. He a little bit more delved in probably to the inner workings of that organization than the initial report. It wouldn't make sense for Jacksonville to do it. It would be an awesome move for the Pittsburgh Steelers, we would think, at an upgrade at the quarterback spot. I do not think the Jags are going to make this trade. It's got even further complicated. The Jags don't have an actual GM right now. They're still doing the interviews to find the guy to work with Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence.
That's true. Who'd they talk to then, right?
Right.
I think the good thing, if you're a Steeler fan, is, Ben, that they're looking to move on, right, from Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
So that's the next angle of the conversation, because when a report happens, reporters want to be a part of the report and the fodder. We'll discuss next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scott, we just talked about the report from Ryan Burr, former Golf Channel host, and all of that about the Steelers making inquiries about Trevor Lawrence and his availability with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We don't believe that trade is going to happen. It has kind of been rebuked that anything would actually happen. And maybe a phone call can be called an inquiry, and it was just that, and a nice chat, and say, hey, we got some good golf here in Jacksonville if you want to come by this offseason. But as we said, why is that reported? Why is that information shared, if at all? Is it Jacksonville's way of saying, if the price was right, we'd think about Trevor Lawrence? Scott, you just looked at Trevor Lawrence's very large contract. At the time, last offseason, matching Joe Burrow for the richest in NFL history. 5 years, $275 million, $55 million annually. Is it even realistic from a financial perspective that Jacksonville would consider moving on from Trevor Lawrence?
No, it's not. These numbers are true, and Spotrac is pretty good with their numbers. They would have a dead cap hit of $133 million. I mean, I didn't think I'd ever find a team that would be worse than the Cleveland Browns as far as dead cap hits with their quarterbacks, but we have one there with Jacksonville. That's what happens when you pay all the signing bonus. You know, you could spread that out if he's on your team, but if you get rid of him, that all comes to the surface. So 130, it'd be impossible. No, so it's not happening.
But it is interesting, Scott, right, that the Steelers might be doing this with a variety of teams and maybe even calling Jacksonville. It seems as though they're pretty set in stone. Liam Cohen trying to unlock Trevor Lawrence to make him be the prince that was promised, and we all believed he could be entering the NFL, and as he showed in glimpses during the 2022 NFL campaign. They still need to hire a GM. Those interviews in Duval County currently underway. So now to the Steelers component. If they're making inquiries with various teams around the NFL about quarterbacks and asking prices and all of that, Scott, does it tell us that Pittsburgh does not have its current quarterback from its current roster or the guys who are there in 2024, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? There was a report from Albert Breer, who is an actual NFL insider for a variety of places, but namely Sports Illustrated and Amazon Prime's Thursday Night Football. And he was asked, Scott, better chance of Fields or Wilson or an outside free agent quarterback being the Steelers' starter? He said outside QB, then Fields, then Wilson. And that he had heard that during Super Bowl week and over the last few weeks of the offseason in Pittsburgh, the Steelers organization was growing a little bit tired of Russell Wilson, that Fields would be the front runner if anybody from the 2024 roster were to remain at the quarterback spot moving forward next year. That's a little bit of interesting info in what Pittsburgh might be doing to approach their quarterback question this offseason.
Yeah. Listen, from what we got out of Mike Tomlin last year, this would be a 180-degree different opinion, right? Because he had every opportunity in the world to keep Justin Fields as his starting quarterback. He went 4-2. The team was obviously winning. But he steadfast said, nope, it's Russell's team. It's Russell's team. It's Russell's team. Then when they lose, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row to close out the regular season, who gets a start in the playoffs? It's Russell Wilson. So I find that hard to believe, unless there was just a change of thinking there. But otherwise, I think Fields would have gotten a better chance, you know, last season if that's going to be the case. I don't think they go back to either one, to tell you the truth.
Right.
That five-game lose. It's funny, Ben. You know, the five-game losing streak probably ended Russell's career with Pittsburgh. And then the two-game losing streak for Sam Darnold probably ended his career with the Minnesota Vikings. Those last couple of weeks really kind of changed, I think, the thinking of both franchises with their starting quarterbacks.
No doubt. Probably cost Sam Darnold a decent amount of money, even if Minnesota was going to turn their attention to their first-round pick from this past year in J.J. McCarthy. Now healthy, you would assume, entering his second year in the NFL. Both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are free agents this offseason. Scott, I'm not sure they retain either. I do not believe that either Wilson or Fields, if they stayed with the Steelers, would be the desired starter. There could be an argument to say that they would like to keep Justin Fields in-house to continue working with him because he is still young, and maybe they believe there is still some promising talent left for Justin Fields. Russell Wilson, at this stage of his career, you don't think you know something that you don't already know about what Russell Wilson can still provide at the quarterback spot. Could Russ be a stopgap for another team? Perhaps. If he is going to be signed this offseason, what exactly does he have in store for the remainder of his NFL career? that is a different conversation. It would seem clear, though, Scott, the Steelers need to address that quarterback position this offseason. So if you're looking around the NFL and you think of all of the teams with a quarterback question to be answered, including those in the NFL draft, Titans, the Browns, the Giants, the Raiders, the Jets, I think I'm up to five, the Saints, and now you could throw in the Pittsburgh Steelers, making that at least seven. The Falcons have their guy in Michael Penix Jr., but what becomes of Kirk Cousins? I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to give Anthony Richardson some run in the third year of his NFL career. I'm not sure they're in love with what that answer might be right now. Scott, there's probably seven teams solidified in the fact that we could see a change at the quarterback spot, or at least a newcomer that would factor into that quarterback competition or decision-making.
Yeah, and then, you know, do you have seven names out there? You know, I'll throw that's the awesome usuals that you're going to hear for a number of different positions. You know, Derek Carr available. You mentioned Kirk Cousins, right? Does Carson Wentz deserve another shot at least competing for a starting job? Jimmy G? I'm curious about Danny Nichols, as I like to call him, former Giants quarterback. You know, what's the NFL's view of him? Does he get a second shot? Sam Darnold, and then, you know, I know it's goofy, but if we're looking for homes for Aaron Rodgers, you know, Pittsburgh would be a pretty good spot, right? A win-now team, they got some talent. You know, the defense is terrific. You don't have to put 30 points on the board. Rough and tough division, I get that, but, you know, that would be a spot where an Aaron Rodgers would seemingly have the fit.
For sure.
If you're going to go into the win-now situation with the Steelers.
I don't think the Jets are going to get anything in a trade for Aaron Rodgers. We assume he will be released post-June 1st to minimize the dead cap hit New York would have to take. Derek Carr is not a free agent. Kirk Cousins is not a free agent. If you want to get those names, you're going to have to trade something, or their organization would be coughing up a lot of money in dead cap hits if they were to take it. For instance, Derek Carr, if released, Scott, even after June 1st this summer, more than $21 million in a dead cap hit for New Orleans, who, as we shared yesterday, is already 54 mil into the red. They don't have a lot of wiggle room when it comes to the cap purgatory they are in. It does make it really interesting when you think of the names that are available, and they're not overly attractive in terms of, yeah, that guy makes us a playoff, division, conference, or Super Bowl contender by any means in a quarterback draft class that is not seen nearly as glowingly, Scott, as last year's was, that of course set a first round record for six QBs gone in the first 32 picks.
Yeah. The benchmark of how desperate a team is, and I forget where he's even at, I have to admit, but the benchmark, Ben, is the good old reliable Jacoby Brissett. You know, if he finds a job and he starts somewhere along the line, it seems like every single year this guy lands on a team that is desperate for a head, you know, for a quarterback, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, whatever it is. You know, if we find, you know, him getting a job, then, you know, these teams really are desperate. So there's too many holes and not enough pegs, as the saying goes, with these quarterbacks.
Yeah. Jacoby Brissett, unrestricted free agent this offseason. Drake May, of course, is the future in Foxborough for the Patriots. We'll talk some other news around the National Football League, the combine list, and some more not so great reports out of Cincinnati. That's next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Plenty of news and notes, even early in the offseason, all around the NFL. Scott, it's going to be an uneasy offseason ahead for the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that we have discussed this week that has seen their price already to contend for a Lombardi Trophy next season shortened since the market has been up in the last 2 to 3 days, open at 24-1, now 18-1. The market optimistic about the Bengals having a bounce back with a healthy Joe Burrow. My hesitation is who is going to be there in Cincinnati on both sides of the football. Joe Burrow is set. T. Higgins is a free agent. Ja'Marr Chase is under contract for one more year, but certainly will only be happy to come back to Cincinnati, Scott, with a large contract extension entering his fifth year in the National Football League. We have already heard from runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year Trey Hendrickson after a great season in the National Football League, leading the NFL in sacks, and longtime Bengal, who had been in Cincy for 6 years since he was drafted in the third round out of NC State, one of the team's defensive captains and team leader in tackles this year in 2024. Jermaine Pratt, the linebacker, yesterday, Scott, officially requesting a trade out of Cincy. The Bengals have a lot of issues to deal with this offseason. Extending new contracts, making sure they can pay people, which is not something that Mike Brown, team owner in Cincinnati, has often loved to do.
Yeah, you know, you have your different levels of issues, right? Certain teams have issues of they don't have any players that are any good, right? That's not the Bengals' issue. The Bengals' issue is keeping the players happy, which is an issue around the NFL, right? But it's, I think, the lesser of two evils. I'd rather have this issue than going to try and find football players. I saw Joey B did an interview with the Four Letter Network talking about how he's willing to restructure his contract in many different ways. He can lower his salary cap hit because the contract they gave him, they didn't do a really good job, apparently, cap-wise. So he was talking about different ways to lower his cap hit and even suggested giving money back. God forbid a football player should actually do that, right? So, and he praised the Philadelphia Eagles for doing it the right way. So hopefully right. They can keep these guys, Ben, because, you know, we all kind of point to the Bengals as the team that they've done it. You know, they've beaten Kansas City. And if Kansas City opened the door this year, and you know, to other teams really becoming successful and getting to the Super Bowl, with them and Higgins and Chase, you know, that's the combination you need. So you would think Cincinnati would find a way to get this job done. And now in the NFL especially, we're seeing more and more. You really do need two, maybe not number one wide receivers, but like with Philadelphia, Devontae Smith, you know, is he a traditional number one? You know, you can have that debate, but he's pretty damn close to A.J. Brown, right? You need two guys now. So I'd be disappointed if I was a Bengals fan, clearly, if they let Higgins walk without re-signing him. I would be not surprised, but I'd be disappointed if I'm a Bengals fan.
The Bengals are one of those unique teams, Scott, that really their ownership is only dedicated to the team itself. It wasn't a tech billionaire or some successful business person that bought into the franchise. Mike Brown is the son of Bengals co-founder, Paul Brown. He has kind of inherited this organization. Duke Tobin is technically the director of player personnel, but acts as the de facto GM in Cincinnati, a position he has held since 1999. It's kind of been rinse, wash, and repeat for the Bengals. And to your point, what Joe Burrow was referencing in that interview, discussing his contract as he has been vocal in terms of making sure that the Bengals have talent around him, both offensively and defensively. He was very vocal during Super Bowl week, that being Joe Burrow, about making sure they can pay their best and brightest, like Trey Hendrickson. And it's really astute by Burrow, Scott, but you don't want your quarterback to also be your financial whiz and your GM. But basically what Joe Burrow is referencing is the way that you see a lot of these mega deals done that are structured differently. Here in the media, as fans take in what we describe, it is often the annual average value of a player's contract. It's the easiest way to do it. 4 year, $100 million. Guys making $25 million a year. It's not necessarily that cut and dry. It's not like they pay him $25 million up front. That's it. He gets his game checks, so on and so forth. There are signing bonuses, which allow you to pay a player up front, which they're all about. There's guaranteed money that could be backfilled. You can void a contract. You can defer payments until later in the duration of that contract to allow yourself outs. It is basically, as Joe Burrow was highlighting what the Eagles have done, they've done that offensively. They've got guys like Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith all paid. Their offensive line all paid because of how they structure their deals. Joe Burrow has a higher base salary than that of Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Hurts actually makes more cash up front than that of Joe Burrow, and his cap hit is lesser because of how Howie Roseman has structured the deal, signing bonuses up front, all of that, so on and so forth. So Hurts has as much money in his bank account, but in terms of the contract and the salary cap space for his organization, it is structured differently. That is what Joe Burrow is referring to, basically to try to give the Bengals financial flexibility so that they can pay all their superstars and keep them there.
Yeah, you know, the NFL has a pretty solid hard cap hit, but they've created so many loopholes to get around it that it's really a soft cap hit. And it's like we talked about with Trevor Lawrence, right? If they were going to trade him, his cap hit for next season is $17 million. I mean, how's that possible? He's the second highest paid player behind Dak now in the NFL, and yet he's got a cap hit of $17 million because you give money in signing bonuses. Now, eventually, it's all got to come to roost, but there are ways around it, and there are ways around, you know, spending money, and the winning teams will use those loopholes to spend money and sign guys. Yeah. The teams that really don't care about winning or don't use it as a high priority, we'll say, right? Won't do that. They'll just say, as you mentioned, all right, you got a four-year, $100 million contract, right? All right, $25 million each year, boom, we go from there. Whereas other teams will say, all right, we'll use $5 million this year, and we'll backload the other $95 million. We'll spread that out. And when it comes time to pay those, then we'll give you a contract extension so we can push that even further.
Right. It's all the financial acumen that you need, some of that creativity to make sure you can fill out the roster, and then you need to hit with a couple of draft picks like the Eagles did on the defensive side of the ball, and you pay them a discounted deal while they're still on their rookie contract. Plenty more around the NFL coming your way up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. The offseason calendar continues to roll on. Scott, in just about 10 days, the NFL eye will focus on Indianapolis for the annual scouting combine. And the NFL officially releasing the list of 329 prospects that have been invited to Lucas Oil Stadium for the 2025 combine. All of those 329 players, of course, we'll pay attention to, but a couple of notable things I would say in that list, and we'll start with a guy that might be in consideration for the number one overall pick, top three pick at bare minimum. That would be the reigning Heisman winner out of Colorado in Travis Hunter, a two-way star at the collegiate level. Scott, officially listed as a defensive back in the prospect list that went out today for the NFL Draft Combine. Not necessarily does he have to only play corner in the NFL, but it was important to note his distinction as a defensive back for combine purposes in just a few weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We all talk about, Deion and Shedeur Sanders, right, his son, and Deion doesn't want him to go to certain places and this and that. What about this kid? You know, what if this kid says, you know what, I want to play both offense and defense in the NFL. I think I'm good enough to play wide receiver and defensive back. You know, will there be a team that says, no, we're not, you know, is he going to tell that to teams in these interviews? Hey, don't draft me if I'm going to play only defense, because I'm not going to be happy. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, do they pick a side, which side it'll be, but the distinguished defense, is he worth more to a team? If he had equal talent, then, right? I think he's a little bit better defensive back than he is wide receiver.
If
he had equal talent, I would think, you know, the offense would win out over the defense. But I do think, like you said, I think he's a little better defensive back than he is wide receiver.
He's a really, really good wide receiver. He was top five in the country in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns this season. He is an elite, in my estimation, cornerback when you look at the metrics and just how shut down he can be. They don't even want to throw it his way at times, Scott, because of how good he is in coverage. That's where I think he adds the most value to an NFL team. But is he in consideration for going first overall, top three, top five, because he's just an elite shutdown cornerback? Or is he in consideration because an NFL team can dream of having him mostly play defense, not the even 50-50 split he did at Colorado, but mostly defense, with a smidge of offense. I guess that's what we'll see. And those will be the Travis Hunter conversations to have in Indianapolis. At this moment, should be noted, Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami, minus 140 as the favorite to be the first overall pick. Now, Scott, we've talked about the Titans willingly listening to offers, perhaps, for that first overall selection. Cam Ward at minus 140 to be first overall doesn't mean the Titans have to make that selection. It just means Cam Ward hears his name called before anybody else in late April in Green Bay for the 2025 NFL Draft.
Right, and that's why I would not be betting on Travis Hunter or any other player to go number one. I think that's just too valuable a position. If, in fact, Tennessee liked Travis Hunter, I think they would trade out of that spot.
Right.
Go call the Giants, go call the Raiders, go call whoever, and say, listen, we're willing to swap with you because we like, you know, they're not going to tell this, but we like this guy. We know you're going to take the, you know, the quarterback number one. I'm curious to see with Jackson Dart, how I think he's going to be the one, like, I think he's kind of borderline first round, and I'm not a draft Nick, but yeah. I think they consider him maybe late first round pick, Ben, right? Maybe. I think he's going to shoot up the draft boards. I think he's going to be the one. I think you're going to end up with three quarterbacks in the top 10 pick, and he'll be the third one.
45-1, the price on Dart's got to be that first overall pick, but it is the fifth best number. As the markets continue to open up for the 2025 NFL draft, around the combine, we'll get the over-unders for the quarterbacks taken in the opening round, number two overall pick, three, four, five, so on and so forth as we get closer to April. One final bit of news, Scott, blending both the NFL and college football, Matt Patricia, former Lions head coach, longtime defensive coordinator in New England, hired as the new DC in Columbus for the reigning national champs in the Ohio State Buckeyes. Patricia making his way back to college.
Yeah, a little surprise, right? Wouldn't you have thought the connection with Mike Vrabel with New England that he would have brought him in? But I guess not. I tell you, I will say this about Ohio State real quickly. You know, they go through these coordinators, but they bring in the big boys, right? They're not hiring a bunch of schmucks.
They certainly do. They have those NFL ties. We'll see if that pedigree and experience results in another dominant Buckeyes defense as they were this past year with Jim Knowles, who is now the defensive coordinator at Penn State. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. FFC returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.